Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. Thanks for joining us this week. So change, don't you feel the weight of change on your shoulders, right? We all face it every day. Sometimes we choose it. Sometimes it's thrust upon us. No matter what happens, we have to navigate it. So to help you on your journey of change, I have created a free communication style assessment, and you get two reports. One spotlighting your amazing supernatural powers of how you show up and how people see you. We want to leverage that. And then I also send you a report about your blind spots or your lowest style so that you can navigate and communicate with those in your life, whether personal or business, from their perspective, not necessarily from yours. So go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA, and that is my gift to you. So today the quote is by the Dalai Lama, and Dalai Lama says, open your arms to change, but don't let go of your values. Now, you know, as I prepare for these shows, I usually start with my guest topic, right? And I look at the questions that they've sent. And then I go and I choose a quote so that I could build my intro from there. So for today, I just love this quote because the show obviously is about change. So I'm embracing that component about us, my guests and I, helping you navigate change. But I also like that it was a short quote in that short quote about values. And as I reflect and personally think about my own life stages, changes, and my guests and I were just talking about this before I hit record. And I know that one of my core values has been tested repeatedly. And for me, my values have guided me to leave jobs, to take new jobs, and ultimately 20 years ago to open my own business. So what are your core values? Do you know what they are? And how do you honor them in your life and business or career? So my guest today is Tom English. Tom is the founder of Three Stewards LTD, and his mission is to empower individuals across the globe to create lives of purpose, meaning and fulfillment in pursuing their unique vision for sustainable success in a world full of distractions, temptations, and challenges. Amen to that. Tom, thank you for being on. This is an important conversation today.
Thanks for having me on, Connie. It's an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, and we were chatting before the show, and I said to Tom, we should have recorded this. It was a great riff that we had back and forth.
It really
so
was.
So now we're gonna kind of have pause and then redo. But I'll ask some questions to ground the conversation, Tom. So first question is, why did you create the three stewardships?
That's a really good question. And there's a very long answer to that. So I'll keep it snappy and truncated. Essentially, I had this yearning to figure out what my purpose was in life. What was the work that I was supposed to do on this earth? And it led me to some wrestling within my soul, within myself. I did all the usual things, looking at university courses. What do I want to study? What could I do in business? What could be the business function that I really focus on? Is it finance? Probably not, because I'm not mad on maths, but finance is actually really interesting. Nevertheless, could it be sales, because I work with people? All these different things. I had all these different questions about what it was that I was really supposed to do. And I had a lot of different experiences along the way that I hadn't really regarded, or I hadn't taken into full account when I was trying to make this decision about what my path and purpose was. And nevertheless, I kept these things in the back of my mind, and it came to me that I should really start to write. So I was working in sales, and I thought in about 2015, I thought, I'm going to start writing blogs and putting stuff on the internet. And I remember the first time I wrote a blog, it was about getting beaten up at judo. And the whole point of the blog was talking about being learning to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. When you're fighting somebody in judo and they're bigger and stronger than you and you're getting beaten up, you get used to that, but then you learn and you grow from it and you're able to move on. And I remember when I hit publish on that, I was quite nervous at the time. I wouldn't think twice about it now in terms of putting something online, fine, you know, water off a duck's back, so to speak. But at the time I was a little bit nervous about it, but it had quite a good response, and I was surprised at who engaged with it and how they engaged with it. And so over the following couple of years, I just kept on with this habit of writing things. When something really grabbed me, so to speak, I would write on it. And I found a lot of reward in doing so. And 2017 was a big year in terms of my writing. I decided that I was going to write I wrote a lot of words, probably enough to write a book in terms of blogs. And I was really thoroughly researching these topics as well, and then putting out blogs on LinkedIn. And to really cut to the chase with this was leading me down a path to determine, what is it that I'm writing about here? What am I talking about here? Because my own mentor had said to me, just write. And I said, well, write about what? He said, whatever you want. It was great advice, because I was naturally inclined to write about the things that aligned with my values.
Sure.
And what did I like best? Which sorts of pieces were getting the best responses? The things that were empowering people, things that were helping people. When people were sending me emails afterwards saying, thank you so much, Tom, this has helped me so much. I was really struggling in my job. I was struggling with my sense of identity, and I was too aligned to my job role, my job title as my identity. And so I realized that actually I should be a mentor. I should be a mentor myself, not a coach, because there's a lot of life coaching and there's a lot of those sorts of offerings already. But I thought maybe something more like a guide, talking in terms of principles. And so I figured that was a good path for me to go down. And I remember in 2018, I think it was at the end of 2018, I stood up at my local Toastmasters club and I said, I'm going to be a mentor. And I haven't figured out exactly what my focus is going to be yet, but this is what I'm going to do. And I'd actually branded myself as English Tom at the time. So that was going to be my business name and my brand. But the company's house where you register businesses in the UK said that I couldn't have it, because I had to be a well-established business to have the word English as the first word, or to use it as a brand. So it totally kiboshed the three stewardships thing. Sorry, the English Tom thing. And that's what led me to Three Stewardships. Three Stewardships is interesting because the first time I sat down in a coffee shop with somebody to have a mentoring session. So when I did stand up at the club at Toastmasters, some people came to me and said, I really like your speech. I really like what you're talking about. You're talking about principles and values in a way that's different to other people. Yeah. I would love to talk to you because I've done the Enneagram. I've done all these different things. And I'd love to hear what you've got to say in relation to me and my path and everything else, and see how you can help. And so some of these things were like literally 3-hour conversations with people going through everything. And there was such good fun, but everything was so open-ended for me. I didn't have a structure. Then in between Christmas and New Year's, 2018, 2019, I was waking up in the middle of the night, and I wasn't too healthy at that time. I didn't know what was going on, but I was waking up in the middle of the night with cold sweats. And it was strange because I was really hot. I was burning up. And it turned out actually that I had gallstones. That's what they figured out. They figured out eventually that's what it was, and that's what was going on. But one of the blessings that occurred from that, and I'm a very strong believer, and this is something I talk about in the programs, that pain can lead us forward on our paths. So instead of feeling like we're victims, instead of feeling like we've been persecuted or that we're suffering and that this is just meaningless and everything else, things that can drive resentment, we can look at these situations where we've been in some form of pain, and we can recycle them and see them as directives on the path forward. And on this particular occasion, when I was up in the night, the dog played a part in waking me up, because he kind of came in the room as well when I was really hot and overheating. It came to me in my mind that I was to mentor on stewardship, that I was to teach people the principle of stewardship. And I was like, whoa, okay, I'm listening. It's 3 a.m. Nobody's up. My phone's not turned on. I'm not looking at anything. But it literally came to me 3 a.m. in the morning. You know, 3 a.m., you're to mentor on stewardship. And it was more specific. So this directive came to me that there were three aspects of stewardship: self, relationships, and contributions. And that's where Three Stewardships comes from, because I got up and I wrote this down. I was like, I am not forgetting this. I went into my office and I wrote it down. I wrote it down on the whiteboard, and it kind of looked like a pie chart, because I broke it down into three sections. Sure. I've got it organized differently now, slightly, a little bit more like Maslow's hierarchy of needs in terms of how it's a pyramid, and it's set up like that. But that's where Three Stewardships came from. And that directive that I got in, let's call it early 2019, has been like a North Star for me. And I thought at that stage, I was like, this is amazing. I can't believe I've got this. And it works. And I was bashing around in my head about, well, this and that and the other. I was like, yes, it's integrated. It makes sense. I understand how this can be applied and how it can help people. And I thought it was really clever then, because I'd just been given this answer by this revelation. But what I've learned since then is that there are so many ways to build this out. There are so many things, nuances, nooks and crannies that I've learned over the past 3 years about the principle of stewardship in relation to values and the mentoring. And it is just such a great journey. So it's a little bit of a long answer, but that's the foundations of three stewardships.
So just a couple of observations, right? When you said the three stewardships pie chart, you know what popped into my head? The peace sign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It looks like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. The peace sign. Yeah. And I thought, oh, peace. Like, that's kind of a cool, right? So that popped into my head visual. I'm a visual person. The other thing, as you were sharing those divine interventions, you know, getting up and writing it on the whiteboard, because you know you're going to forget it. It was really good. It's on the tip of my tongue, right? I don't remember what the heck it was. So that was really smart. And then the third observation, based on what you're saying, which I think is important for you as a young, you know, business owner, you know, building this business out, as you're talking, like from the Toastmaster, right? And then people approached you and you started having these conversations, and you said they were kind of free flowing and not very organized, but I think sometimes that's where we need to start, because how do you know what people need until they tell you? So by you having those wonderful conversations and not having a predetermined outcome or predetermined script, or which I don't love scripts even in sales. I'm not an advocate for that at all. But I think going with that free flow, people, you know, doing it again and again and again, and all of a sudden you think, oh, values, you know, relationships, and you start to get clarity because you're hearing the same thing over and over, even though their situations are so different. So it was almost like an education for you, right? Looking at university, what do I want to be? That was the education that was really the catalyst for you to come up with the three. Because once you, what happens? Our thoughts become our reality. So as you were percolating and talking and meeting people and hearing, you're subconsciously, you're still working on everything they said. How can I, because you come from a place of service, right? Which is why I think you'll be a great business owner, you know, long-term, 20 years from now. So how can I serve them? You're still thinking about that on what is a possible solution. How can I take the angst out of that? What advice could I give? How could I mentor them? So you're coming from this place of service, but you don't know the answers until you talk to people. So I think doing that was such a intuitive. So you did it because you got up and you mentioned it out loud. Thoughts become reality.
Yeah.
People signed up. Now you've created the three stewardships, right? The three pieces of the pie chart. More and more clarity come. Before we started, you and I were chatting and I saw you taking notes on a couple of things I was saying. The more we talk to people, the more clarity we have. Because Tom, we don't know what we don't know. We all have blind spots.
Exactly.
So by talking to people, then we come to clarity of how you can really help. And I think that's the name of the game. And you do it just from this place of kindness and respect and care that I mentioned this right before we hit record, the like, no trust factor for you, I think will be rapid. I don't think it's going to be this long, arduous kind of process because no one knows me. And I think as people meet you, right, like we were talking and I said, oh, you need to meet, I have another podcast host, immediately popped into the head. I think people will start lining up for you for that, because you come from this place of service, but just because you're humble about it as well. And I think that's important for a business owner too. So it's just my two cents on that arc of how you came to the three stewards.
Thank you, Connie. I really appreciate you saying that. And I have to give a little bit more disclosure here in terms of where I'm coming from, because I feel as though in terms of timings, like I said before, I was always struggling. I was in this fight. It was an existential fight about what my purpose should be and what's going to be my hill that I'm going to build and my castle that I'm going to be the king of and all this sort of stuff. And I did have to be humbled. I did have to go through some humbling experiences early on. I already have a failed startup under my belt, which was really tough. And it feels maybe a bigger deal in the UK than it is in the US, where I think people are a lot more entrepreneurial and a lot more willing to put their best foot forward and create something new. But I had to go through the hard yards. And this is something that I was saying in our conversation before we hit record, is that I really believe that there is value in pain. There is serious value in the pain that we experience, the painful experiences that we have. If we don't have to look at life, you know, when something bad happens, and it's not if, it's when something challenging happens or something goes awry, how do we respond to that? What are the paths from pain? What one of the things that I've really been focusing on recently is how they're really, there are essentially, as I look at it, and this is quite simplistic, but I think it helps for people to make choices, is that really I see that there are three fundamental paths from pain, another three, if you like. You can choose to numb the pain. You can choose to escape it. And sometimes that's when we get into issues with opioids and drugs of abuse, because people will just want it to stop. Just stop now. Just please end enough. And they want to numb it. They want to escape it. The other thing is, the other potential step is that the pain can lead to some degree of resentment, and it can lead to a desire for some sort of retribution, because people want justice. I want justice, and I have every right by the law and by morality and everything else to get justice. The thing with that is that might be right. You might be entitled to your pound of flesh. The issue is that if it is generated by resentment, and if resentment is there, then resentment can turn to malevolence, and malevolence is self-destructive. Yeah. So as soon as we start thinking about getting revenge on other people because somebody's done us wrong, then we destroy ourselves. I was listening to something recently, an interview with a Catholic priest, which was really interesting, because he was talking about, and this is quite, again, it's quite whacked out, but he was talking about performing exorcisms. And he said that occasionally the evil spirit will speak through the voice of the person to him, and he's forbidden from talking back to them. But one of the things that came to him was this spirit said to him, if people hate enough, they can become a curse, as in the person themselves can become a curse. And when I heard that, it really stopped me in my tracks, because I thought, yes, I have seen this. I have seen how when people go down the path of resentment from pain, when they allow the pain to become a source of resentment for them, and they feel like they've been victimized, and they turn it into anger and a desire, not just for retribution or for justice, but for some sort of vengeance, then it's destructive, not just to the other person, but more principally to themselves. So yes. So what is the third path then? The third path is essentially, it's about learning. It's using the pain to learn. I have this again, another three, so many threes in my approach, but I have another three, which is about how to get on the path, how to get on your own path of purpose, meaning and fulfillment for your own version of sustainable success. And the essential process is learn, create, and contribute. So if you've experienced pain, what can you learn from that pain? Yeah. What can you learn from that experience? I remember when I was skint, and I don't know if that translates well in the US, but skint means you are broke, basically. It's a word we use in the UK for broke. So I was broke after my startup failed. And I was on the bus, and I was seeing other people on the bus who had less than I did and who were in other situations. And I was able to see the needs of others who didn't have a lot of money at all in a way that I'd never seen that before. I'd never, ever seen that before. And all of a sudden, I'd only been married for 6 months. I had £500 in my bank account. I had a failed business, and my wife was a student. That was a difficult situation. But it enabled me to see life in a different way. Yeah. And the learning that was gleaned from that was incredible. It enabled me to create. And through those creations, we can then contribute. And through the contributions, that's how we achieve success. And that success is our success. It's not somebody else's success. It's not like scouring the internet for what's hot and how to make it big online or crypto investing or anything like that. It's our success that has come from the unique path that has been presented to us. But it's so crucial that we engage with pain and the pain that we experience in the right way, because if we don't, then it'll take us on an entirely different track.
Such a fascinating thought there, Tom. So my parents are both still alive, God bless. My mom is going to be 93. My dad is 91. Oh, wow. And so recently my mom broke her arm. She fell out of bed and broke her arm in two places and shattered her shoulder. So we had to put her in a rehab facility, and now we had to move her because my dad was the sole caregiver, right? Couldn't care for her anymore. She still needs more rehab. So we moved her into a memory care unit is what it's called. It's like the step up after rehab. So she still gets the rehab. So the other day I was there and I, you know, we set her up in the room like, Mom, how you doing? She goes, you know, she goes, I feel so bad for the, now my, she's probably the oldest one there. She's, I feel so bad for the people here. I said, oh, really? Why? And she said, they're old. I said, are they? Okay. And she said, yeah. She goes, you know, as we're eating dinner, she said, they don't talk. They just kind of fall asleep at their seat. She said, the poor things, they're not doing well. And I said, oh, so I said, are they older than you? She goes, no, I'm probably the oldest. She goes, but the poor things. So it tickled me so deeply, Todd, because I thought, isn't that interesting? She has a broken arm in two places, a shattered shoulder. So the poor woman is in pain and she's observing these other old people who were younger than her that were not as well off as her mentally and saw and had compassion for them. And then it was funny because I had, they had dinner one night and they allowed me to stay in the little lunchroom, you know, where they ate. And so the one aide introduced me to all. And of course, I was chatting with each of them. And the one woman said, how'd your mom break her arm? And I explained to her, she goes, oh, the poor thing. So again, internally, I giggled and I thought, see, we have our own perspective, our own framework, but we could certainly still see the or have the compassion and see the distress or the situation of others. And this is the other funny thing, Tom. In my whole life, we look at other people, and I'll just share really quick. When I was going for my MBA at night, we would meet for, we worked all day and then went to school at night. And so I had friends and we'd meet and we'd have dinner. And this one night, this young man said to us, okay, everybody, put your initials on your napkin. We did. He's okay. Put them in the center of the table. We did. And he says, okay, now who wants to go first? And so, you know, maybe I raise my hand. He says, okay, all of those napkins represent your pains and stressors and all of the burdens of your life. And Tom's has his burdens. And he went through and he said, so now you can choose any napkin you want and the burdens and the life that goes along with that napkin, right? So the all-encompassing life. And I think I was the first one and I hesitated and I thought, well, I don't want their life. I don't know what's going on. And I picked mine. The next person went at the end. We all chose our own napkin. So again, right, that it's just that framework of, and I loved that story of being on the bus. So let me go full circle. My point here is you were on that bus in distress, tremendous distress, feeling failure and lost and a newlywed and no money and all these things. And you looked and you saw people who were worse off than you. That's powerful. There's always a choice to be made.
Yeah.
And there's tomorrow the sun will come out, right? So
that
ability in distress and pain to see an alternative, powerful stuff. Very impressive.
Yeah. For me, it's about anchoring. It's really about anchoring. So I have a very strong relationship with God. And so I'm anchored in that. And so come hell, high water, so to speak, I know that that is there. And it seems like the world is a crazy place. And it seems like it's increasingly crazy, whether it's the weather, whether it's geopolitics, whether it's the economy, whether it's the markets, whatever it is. So we need to be anchored in something that is greater than ourselves. And when we are, we know we can have faith that things are going to get out of that. Like I knew I was going to get out of that situation when I was on the bus. I knew, okay, fine. I'm here today, but I'm not going to be here forever. There's no way that that's going to be the case. And one thing that I say to people as well, in terms of how they see themselves in their lives, I think it's really powerful when we're able to say, just like that napkin exercise that you mentioned a moment ago, Connie, is that there is no one else in the world that I would rather be than me.
Yes.
And that isn't a selfish or a narcissistic thing to say. It's about understanding that you fit your role in life. You fit your role in life. You don't have to run off and try and be him or her or whatever, because your path, the truth of your path is within you, and it's to be discovered. It's there to be discovered. It's not out there. It's not over there. It's within you. And when you come to grips with that and you find your own divine connections and your divine anchors, then you will find the way, because the way is there to be found. And it isn't based on what the president of the United States says or does. It isn't what Vladimir Putin does in Ukraine or anything else. It's within you. It's within the path. It's what happens when you just go out and you spend your day and go about your day. You find things where you can serve, you can help, you can say something, you can do something that probably nobody else could. Because if that's your orientation, then these things will just naturally become manifest you, because you're saying to God, if you like, that I am here to serve. I am ready to serve. Yeah. I am for real in doing this. So it's like you're saying, going back to the mentoring thing, when I started doing it, I thought, what on earth am I doing? I'm confident giving people principle-centered advice. Very, very much so. No problem with that. But like I say, I had nothing by way of frameworks or processes or anything else. But that stuff came in due course when I put my foot forward and took action. Because that's what it means to have faith. Faith isn't just about wishful thinking and praying that everything's going to be all right. It's about taking action. And when we take action, we show people, we show ourselves as well, that we are for real. Because if we don't take action and we don't show ourselves that we're for real, then we really can't make any progress at all.
No, we're hiding ourselves, and hiding yourself. What's the purpose, right? And I'll just share, when COVID hit, and people, my listeners know the story, but when COVID hit, I had done my business for 20 years, Tom, was live. I did everything live. I spoke live. I trained live, right? My meetings were live. Networking was live. Everything was live. I didn't even like computers, Zoom, foreign to me, right? I'm old. That wasn't my world. Fast forward, COVID hit and everything stopped. I had no income. It stopped. My husband lost his job. His company closed. No income. Two kids in college. Mortgage. What do you do? And I remember crying and feeling like I was going to vomit for about 24 hours. And then exactly what you said, my husband said, what do you think? And I said, well, this isn't going to last forever, right? Worst case scenario, we sell the house. And we move in with my parents, or we rent, or whatever, right? We'll figure it out, right? Because we have a lot of equity in our home, and we'll survive. And I said, but here's the thing. What do I do with my business? Like, this was unprecedented. Nobody needed me because the world had shut down. And so my husband said, what are you going to do? I go, I don't know. I have to learn, because I don't know what I don't know in this new world. And so what did I do? I started researching and taking classes and talking to people and networking. I was networking 12 hours a day like a crazy person. And I was asking questions, and I was filling my blind spots, and I was growing my skill. Now, fast forward, I have another whole revenue stream that 2 years ago I never would have been able to articulate to you. Now I see it with clarity, because the marketplace has shifted. Oh, and by the way, my live, my corporate clients, they're coming back, right? That's that revenue stream is still there. But now I created another whole revenue stream that wouldn't have happened if COVID didn't happen, because I was comfortable doing everything live. So that's another thing that, you know, you believe in God, universe, whatever anybody wants to call it, doesn't matter, right? This isn't a religious program by any means. But the idea is you tomorrow's another day. Action. So what was my action? I couldn't create business and income the next day. I did the next best thing. Where were my blind spots? What did I need to learn to be able to move forward in this new world and be able to create revenue streams, because I had two kids in college and bills and all of these other things? Bad, I almost cursed. It's a clean show. I'm not allowed to curse. Bad crap happens to all of us, and we're never immune. It's really, I think, how you respond. And I think you're doing such a great job of articulating and creating and helping people find their inner voice, find their inner strength, whatever it is. We're almost out of time, but I do want to ask one more question, which we're talking about creating a life of purpose and meaning and fulfillment and giving back and serving and all those things. I agree 100%. What would be one tip and action? That was the other one. I love action. If you do, information's great, but if you do nothing with the information, it's information in your head. Hey, thanks. You're not really sharing it. What is one tip that you think people listening, where they're like, well, this is making sense to me, man. I'm loving this conversation. What's one step they can take after listening to you and all of your wonderful information?
There's a single question that I think is at the basis, at the heart of purpose, meaning, fulfillment, and also in finding your path. to sustainable success. And that question is, who can I serve? It's not about, I know that there's the Japanese ikigai matrix where you can break down what does the world need, what am I good at, what can I get paid for, and all that stuff. That's great, and I'm not decrying that, but just start with one question: who can I serve? And if you start with that one single question, all that other stuff in terms of what your skills are, what your interests are, what people need, that will all fold into it just nicely. One question: who can I serve? You start paying attention to that. You start journaling about that, writing it down, maybe writing some blogs about it. You will get some significant answers.
And for people who don't like to write, like me, do a video, put the video up on LinkedIn, put the video up on Facebook, do a Facebook Live, do a LinkedIn Live, whatever it is, if you choose. And it could be a 10-minute, it could be a 5-minute, it could be a 2-minute video about your thought of the day. So yeah, I love that idea of who can I serve, and then start thinking about it, maybe start journaling, taking notes. Even I write on post-it notes. I'm not a big journaling person. So I write a lot of things down because I believe writing gets, I always have a notebook on my desk because writing gets it into my brain that I could start percolating on. But I love that. Who can I serve? One simple question. So there you go. You have a tip that is actually actionable right here, right now, as soon as you get done listening. Who can I serve? Start to percolate on that. Maybe write some ideas down, or just before you go to bed, ask that question to yourself. Who can I serve? See what dreams, see what thoughts come, see what happens during the night where you allow your subconscious to shine through because the ego is parked because it's asleep and we can sneak in and see what's really going on at the subconscious level. But who can I serve? Love that, Tom. Thank you so much. Brilliant. I can't wait to get to know you better, number one. But number two, just to see what you create, because you definitely are on the right path, my friend. You have just a beautiful energy about you. And I think people will benefit from that because you're like a non-judgment zone, you know, if you will. Yeah. Guys,
thanks, Connie. Really appreciate that.
My pleasure, Tom. And I think you all need more Tom in your life. So please go to his website, it's the number 3. And then it's stewardshipsplural.com, or email him at tom@3stewardships.com. I promise I will put that in the show notes for everybody so that you can find Tom easy peasy. Tom, thank you again for just a great conversation. And I know everyone listening will find value in this. And again, just ask yourself this one question: who can I serve? It might be life-changing for you, especially if you're in a crossroad in your life, asking that one question to self, and then really listening to your inner voice, right? Your divine, whatever your divine, divine downloads. Percolate on that. Who can I serve? Tom, thank you again. Truly enjoyed this conversation. You're amazing, my friend.
Thank you, Connie. An absolute pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, same here. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. Doesn't matter what change you're going through, how hard, how easy, doesn't matter. I hope that my guests and I provide those tips, tools, and strategies for you to hear it and then apply it in your real life in real time, and see what magic happens. And see what magic happens when you start that implementation process a month from now, a year from now. Report back. I love to hear those transformational stories. That's what life is about. That's where the magic lies for all of us. So Tom, thank you again for sharing your zone of genius. And thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on WebTalkRadio.net. I truly am honored to have you on this journey of change with me. And I hope that my guests and I inspire you to navigate change and hopefully just a smidge easier than it possibly has been for you recently. So again, thank you for tuning in. I'm honored you're here, and I will see you all next week. Have a great, inspired week, everyone. Thanks so much.